The Haunting of a Bronte by Amelia Blackwell. Read by Polly Edsel. I was then at Thorpe Green, and now I am only just escaped from it. During my stay, I have had some very unpleasant and undreamt of experience of human nature. Anne Bronte, 1845. For Alicia, Amelie, and Alyssa, with gratitude and love. Chapter 1. A Cavernous Night. Lantern in her hand, Leatherman multi-tool stowed safely in her reticule, Georgiana Darcy gazed at the stubborn rock face before her, where she had just left her mark, in the hope that, 196 years hence, Quinn would see it, and know that although the two were divided in body, her spirit remained tethered to his. It had been impossible to write all she wished to say. Every mark had cost her dear, her fingers blistering in the creation of each letter, as her blade scraped against unyielding stone. For QQ, device failed. Trying to find way forward. My heart is yours forever. G.D. It seemed as if her whole chest ached with longing for the man she could not reach, no matter what arts she employed. The magic of time travel that had once touched her life had deserted her and would not come back under any inducement. She had prayed with all her might and offered desperate bargains to heaven, but her most cherished Motorola pager remained silent. Her sensibility had proved too strong for her fortitude. Every day when she woke, her yearning for Quinn rushed in on her and darkened and saddened the day that lay before her. Nobody knew what ailed her, excepting Anne, and her sympathy soon amounted to little more than uplifting aphorisms and inducements to count blessings. In this struggle between the present and the future, Georgiana's health was quickly broken. Her pale face, attenuated form, and failing strength threatened rapid decline and caused alarm to all around her. Sincerely, she felt in her heart that she would die if she did not find a way to travel again. And with this conviction, she had obtained from Darcy the approval of a scheme devised by Lady Catherine de Bourgh to leave Derbyshire for a tour of England that would culminate in a stay with the illustrious Parker family of Saltram House in Devonshire. Even beyond the delights of Quinn, in travelling she would have a purpose, a reason to exist, rather than merely enduring days and nights and waiting for something to give shape to her hours. After her adventures in the year of 1995, she had come to believe that a higher power had sent her into the future to solve a mystery and promote good over evil. But then to go home and experience nothing but mundanity had tested her spirits sorely. The quiet of her usual employments filled her with unease, until she became deficient in both sense and feeling. As the months passed, she found she sank ever deeper into apathy. She despaired of herself for caring for nothing, fearing nothing, liking nothing, hating nothing, being nothing and doing nothing. Only the prospect of leaving a message for Quinn had relit within her a flicker of hope. The gulf of time between them had seemed vast and insurmountable, but words gouged into a wall could broach it. It was her only means of communicating with him, of letting him see how ardently she wished to return to his time. At Pemberley, Georgiana had been fixated upon the possibility of the pager beeping once again. It had been her habit to visit the ancient Oakwood, where the magic had first occurred, on every day that she was able to escape the attentions of her irksome companion, Mrs. Ainslie, who plagued her days with talk of marriage to Baron John de Halliwell. She was not afraid of facing whatever danger might lurk in the year 1995.